everybody. Welcome. We see beautiful snow, but it's almost spring. Wonderful stuff. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Settled for another 5 minutes or so. So if you need to go refill your coffee or have a glass of orange juice, now is a great time to do that.
You're gonna have to jump over it.
Hi, Judith.
Good morning, Frank. Mary Jackson. Don and Jim, say hi.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jim. I'm so glad to see you.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Wilder. Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Sumi. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Robert.
Oh.
Hi, Sumi. Hi, Hollis. Hi, True Fries.
It's an expanded roster.
Good morning.
Hi, Susie. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hollis.
Get more information.
Good morning.
About you.
Oh, it's getting crowded in here.
Good morning.
Hi, Judy and Robert.
Hi.
Do not want to be in
here. Here's what can be seen.
Hi, Katie.
That's the same thing.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, Katie, did you see the video on last week's service?
Not yet.
Did you get any feedback? Because it was wonderful.
Last week's service.
Isn't that terrific?
It was. It is. Must make you feel good.
Last week's service. The video.
Hi, Judith Stone.
Hi, Frank. Thank you. Where's
Hi, Dell and Bert.
Hi, Frank.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know.
June, you want me to put your name on here? Huh?
Our new council member?
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
We watched the forum at noon on Tuesday, Frank. It's good to see you.
What do you think?
Good.
Thank you.
Morning, Marilyn Jane.
Morning.
I'm Dan Dahlquist.
There's the Millers.
Hi. Hey,
Frank.
Morning,
Susan. Hi, Marilyn Garst.
Hello, hello.
Hi. And Ryan.
Katie Fisher.
Go ahead and get ready to mute everybody in just a minute here.
Bob Cunnert. Sarah Sauter.
Yeah.
Oh, a new voicemail. We're muted.
Okay.
Yes. Good morning. Our worship theme for the month of March is commitment. This morning, the words calling us into worship come from the Reverend Rebecca Parker, former president of Star King School for the Ministry. Let us covenant with one another to keep faith with the source of life, knowing that we are not our own. Earth made us.
Let us covenant with one another to keep faith with the community of resistance, never to forget that life can be saved from that which threatens it, by even small bands of people choosing to put into practice an alternative way of life.
And let us covenant with one another to seek for an ever deeper awareness of that which springs up inwardly in us.
Even when our hearts are broken by our own failure or the failure of others, cutting into our lives.
Even when we have done all we can and life is still broken, there is a universal love that has never broken faith with us and never will.
This is our ground of hope.
And the reason we can be bold in seeking to fulfill the promise. We acknowledge that the land we gather on as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We gather on the ancestral land of the Nuchu or Ute, Apache, the Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné nations. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. And these words, as they are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I am so grateful to be creating community with you today, people uniquely situated to create an open place to worship, develop in faith, and to deepen social justice in our community. We gather virtually, keeping each other safe. It is a balm being together, responding to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of love and justice. We gather in the spirit of covenant, meaning we need not think alike to love alike. Unitarians and Universalists have radical roots and a history as self-motivated spiritual people, thinking for ourselves and recognizing that life experience influences our beliefs more than anything. If you are new here, we welcome you. Our communications coordinator, Shannon Beaver, would love to greet you personally. Type into the chat if you'd like to be added to our e-newsletter list. And please join us after the service for our informal small group virtual fellowship time, and feel free to stay as long or as briefly as you'd like. Today is Share the Plate Sunday, and our guest today is Cassidy Arndt. And Cassidy is a dedicated student volunteer from Fort Lewis College's Grubhub. We've been focusing on food insecurity during these months as the level of resources has dwindled. Cassidy?
Hi. So yeah, I'm a volunteer at Grubhub on Fort Lewis College campus. Basically what we provide is a food pantry on some days where students can come in and take food that they need. And then also things like hot meals on Tuesdays and grocery bags on some days and like lunches, just so that we can help students that are facing food insecurity have a safe place to get food and kind of fight that stigma against food insecurity so that everyone feels welcome to take what they need. Because what I love about Grubhub is kind of the spectrum of people that we have come in, where there's like students that just need a snack before lunch or their next class, and then also students that just aren't able to buy groceries or anything for the week, and so this is really helping them. And so it's a really cool organization of students helping students. Thank you all for your support.
Thanks, Cassidy. We're kicking off our stewardship campaign. Hope you received one of these. So in the coming weeks, you'll hear a brief testimonial from one of our members, or maybe two, inspiring your own annual giving. It will culminate in Celebration Sunday on March 21st. Also on that day, 2 weeks from today, we'll host the congregation of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Las Cruces, New Mexico. So I hope you'll join me in welcoming them, and especially make sure to come that day so that we can show off our congregation in the best light, and we can do that with you here. Then after the service that day, we'll have a celebratory event over at our building at San Juan Drive. It's called Dazzle Drive-Through. And I'm sure I don't know much about it, so it will be a surprise, but that event will allow you to drop off your pledge that Sunday and also maybe pick up a signed copy of my new book, This Day in Recovery. So I really hope you'll make it there on March 21st. Oh, and I have a few more hymnals available for purchase at my house. So please send me an email, minister@durangouu.org, if you'd like to come by and pick one up. I'll make it available for you. Leading our service with me today is our worship team. Mary Oaken is our worship associate. Sarah Sauter, our interim director of faith formation, is our storyteller. Shannon Beaver and Cheryl Guy are greeters. James Mirabal leads our tech support with Dennis McClure as tech associate. Elizabeth Crawford leads the D Virtual Tones choir today, and our choir accompanist, Jose Duran, also will be offering music. We define worship as shaping things of worth. By so doing, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
Community chalice lighting this morning comes with the help of Bob Kuhnert. You'll find our affirmation posted in the chat, and I invite you to speak aloud with me the words of our affirmation and join me in declaring our congregational covenant. Love is the
doctrine of this church.
Please stay muted. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need, for these high purposes do we unite in worship.
When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
Did your hearts like ours soar when you heard the profound and stirring words of this now famous poem, The Hill We Climb, from which this is an excerpt? I think most of us remember the extraordinary Amanda Gorman, our first National Youth Poet Laureate and author of this poem, which she wrote for President Biden's inauguration. It feels a bit audacious to quote her words, but her poetic call to our spirit is worth celebrating any time. Yet, why are we beginning our testimonial today with Gorman's inspiring words? I'm Tom Miller, member of this fellowship.
And I'm Bonnie Miller. My husband Tom and I have been deeply committed members of UUFD for 10 years. Our beloved community is a nucleus of importance in our lives. That is so because we have formed extraordinary and loving relationships here, which make our lives richer every day. It is so because here we find motivation and support to grow and learn how to become our best selves. And it is also so because UUFD helps us to be brave enough to see the realities of our world and to commit to actions that brighten the light of hope and justice.
What does it mean to be brave enough to see the difficulties of living well in our world and to be a light of hope and justice? We do not expect to be given pat answers or directions from our church. We do not expect perfection from our church. Rather, we trust in our mutual commitment to purposeful living, to practices of love and service, to the pursuit of truth and justice.
When we participate in our worship services, we're prompted to think more deeply. We find encouragement of the Spirit, and we gather strength to live more purposefully and authentically.
When we take part in faith formation, we stretch our capacity to understand the spiritual and ethical questions of our time and to respond with love and service to our community.
When we work together for a community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, we gather inspiration, courage, and fortitude to create a better world where truth and justice carry the day.
Since Bonnie and I became members of UUFD, we've increased our pledge every year and will do so again this year. We make UUFD a priority in our financial commitments because UUFD is a priority in our lives. We believe profoundly in our church mission and its importance, not only in our own lives, but in the broader community. And we know that we cannot achieve a robust mission without increasingly robust resources to support those efforts.
The Dalai Lama said, "If you think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. If it can be difficult to ignore one small mosquito, imagine how much of an impact a whole church of mosquitoes can make. When we support each other and our work together, we are a beacon of light in the world. UUFD is our place in the world for nurturing and building each other up, for playing and enjoying life, and for working for the common good.
We commit ourselves anew today and our resources because we believe that doing common good work together is both more powerful and more impactful. And as active participants, even if we fall short at times, we reap the benefits of living a life of meaning, dignity, and purpose. And we invite you to join us to do the same.
Thank you so much, Bonnie and Tom. I invite you to set your screen to gallery view so you can see those present today. And now with an attitude of reverence and hospitality, let us offer a greeting of peace and welcome to those making up our congregation today. Peace be with you.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Piper. Hey. And
good morning, everyone.
Hi,
Wilder. Good to be here.
Hi,
I'm gonna mute everybody.
Doug and Jim.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you are all here with us this morning. Please, again, we invite you to stay afterwards so that we can continue fellowship together. We share our joys and our sorrows in a ritual of candlelighting in community. This is a good time to switch your screen back to speaker view. Hopefully you know how to do that up in the right-hand corner where it says view. And you can click on that button and make sure that it's on speaker view. And that way you'll be able to see who's sharing. If you are so moved, I invite you to offer a joy or sorrow of a personal nature, and I will light a candle for you. Type your name in the chat so that Mary can identify you. And a reminder to keep your sharing brief to both make room for others and also acknowledge the length of the whole service. I'm going to begin by lighting a candle of sorrow to symbolize and remember the more than 524,000 souls who have died as a result of COVID in the United States, more than 2.5 million worldwide.
June has a joy or sorrow to share. Can you unmute?
Thank you. I want to acknowledge the angels that belong to this church. Nancy Fisher and Carolyn Miller both unbidden reached out to me and let me know that there were extra vaccines available last Saturday, and I was able to go down to the fairgrounds and get vaccinated completely unexpectedly. And I'm just so grateful and amazed that they would just think of me and put me on their list of people to contact. So I just wanted to share that joy.
We light this candle.
Robert and Susie have a joy. Please remember to unmute yourself.
Well, we've got a very similar joy. We now both have the COVID card, so we got our first shot. We've been trying on and on and on and on and on. Susie's been concerned, so it's a good day.
We light this candle.
Anne and Graham have a joy.
Yes, Anne and I are just
so joyful that we've been able to have our son, David, and his daughter, Charlotte, with us here for the past week and having some wonderful quality time with them who we don't see as often as we would like.
We light this candle.
Ellie has a concern. Unmute yourself, Ellie. Or Sarah. We'll come back to that one. Oh, there she is.
I have a concern about my friends, McKenna and Ansley, because they both have COVID. And,
We light this candle.
Steve F. has a joy.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to light a candle of joy for all the educators out there. And when I say that, I don't even just mean teachers. I mean parents and everybody that's involved in the education of children in this community and around the world. And with that note, I wanted to encourage everybody to be a part of the superintendent forum that's going to be happening on Monday at 6 o'clock on Zoom. There's three final candidates for the superintendent position. And so if you're able to, please check out the Durango Schools website for the Zoom information.
We light this candle.
Diana S. has a sorrow. Diana, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Yeah, good.
I have a sorrow in that a friend of mine just buried her father, who died less than 48 hours after receiving the COVID vaccine. And I would like to see us talk about some of the risks involved in receiving the vaccine as well.
We light this candle.
Judith S. has a joy.
I am really excited because I was able to get my first COVID vaccine this week. And it was also an answer to my concern last week, because what I saw where we were at was people that were working together. The whole, it's not what I thought it was. I guess I was just hearing a lot of people this, you know, really doubtful and understandably, is there right? You know, and yet what I saw was a big community of people. So I'm so happy that I was wrong last week.
We light this candle.
Hollis has a concern.
Hi, I am going to have to find a new place to live by June 1st. And given the lack of inventory, either for rental or purchase in town, I'm a little concerned about that. So I would appreciate your good thoughts on my behalf.
We light this candle.
Suzanne A. has a joy.
I have a couple of joys. So Bob's biopsy shows no signs of precancer in his esophagus. And I just went to a cranial osteopath in town who did hands-on work on my neck and my head and skull, and found me way out of whack, probably from the fall on the ice about a month ago. And the dizziness that I've been having so badly for the last month is almost gone. And I also want to give a deep gratitude to the caring team. Two people sent me cards this last week for Bob and me, and it was wonderful. So thank you for our caring team.
We light this candle.
Thank you, Suzanne. We have one more joy listed here, but if you have one and I might have missed you, please go ahead and type your joy or sorrow in the chat, or your name rather, and I'll call on you. So Sarah G has a joy.
Thank you. I just have a joy. I want to say thank you to everyone who attended our vaccine discussion the other night, and really enjoyed talking with you, and I just want to offer that we'd be happy to do it again if people still have some concerns. I also just want to have a joy and honor the community COVID vaccination team that's been vaccinating at the fairgrounds for 2 months now. And their effort will be wrapping up and it'll be moving into San Juan with the same volunteers. We'll still be working there. But Karen Zink and her leadership team made that happen and made it possible for our region to get be the highest vaccinated region in Colorado. And it also got us 4,000 J&J vaccines this weekend. So great joy for our community effort. And thanks to everybody.
We light this candle.
Thank you all. That was it.
Let's finally light one last candle to symbolize the silent prayers we hold in our hearts. May we hold close these appeals. Not only is March a time to focus on commitment, it is also Women's History Month. Olympia Brown is often called the first woman to be ordained with full ministerial standing, recognized by a denomination, the Universalist Church of America, in 1863. Olympia Brown was a pioneer, preacher, and women's rights advocate. At the age of 85, Brown cast her first ballot on the 2nd of November, 1920. She was one of the few long-term suffrage advocates to see the fruits of her labors. Let us listen to her words, following which I'll invite you to join me in deepening into prayer. Stand by this faith, work for it, and sacrifice for it. There is nothing in all the world so important as to be loyal to this faith which has placed before us the loftiest ideals, which has comforted us in sorrow, strengthened us for noble duty, and made the world beautiful. Do not demand immediate results, but rejoice that we are worthy to be entrusted with this great message, that you are strong enough to work for a great true principle without counting the cost. Go on finding ever new applications of these truths and new enjoyments in their contemplation, always trusting in the one God which ever lives and loves. Now, let us join together. Spirit of life, God of many names and none at all, let us find gratitude in this moment of contemplation to remember those innovators who came before us, who continue to remind us today of the rewards and gifts of commitment. May we discover the courage, the community of resistance for the struggles we face, the promises we continue to make. Let us gain the fire of commitment, finding fulfillment in living day upon day. May we sit in the silence without words. Blessed be. Amen. Amen. Ashe.
Thank you. Thank you, Jose. That was beautiful. Kids and adults, commitment means that we act on what we value and hold important. And as members of a faith community, we make a commitment to practice being the best people that we can be, even when it is difficult.
One day, a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking up starfish and throwing them into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "Excuse me, but what are you doing?" The boy replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The sun is rising and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they'll die." The man laughed to himself and said, "But there's too many starfish on this beach. You can't possibly make a difference." After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it into the ocean. Then turning to the man, he said, "I made a difference to that one."
Echoing the words of the Dalai Lama as spoken by Bonnie earlier in this service, if you think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. Kids, join us by clicking on the link in the chat box as we continue our practice of our anti-racism talk show, learning to be our best selves and learning how to make a difference.
Fire of commitment. Guess what your board of trustees is busy doing? Putting together a new group to serve as a task force that will be discerning how we can begin to do in-person activities and gatherings in 3D at UUFD. I know that some of you have had your vaccines, probably a greater percentage right here than in the general population. And as we heard Sarah say, this county has been doing a splendid job in making that happen. We're not all there yet, and we need to have some patience as folks wait their turn. Yet even making plans, simply making plans, is exciting stuff. Personally, we might look at spring break with a little more enthusiasm. Maybe you're planning to get together with family members or take a little trip somewhere for what feels like the first time ever. Maybe experiment with having dinner out in public. Others, not quite yet, but I know that Ron and I are at least imagining how we might be able to take a night or two away sometime. It's a possibility soon, and that feels huge. But even if I might want to get away, mostly I'm well aware that there is a deep longing for connection, for ways for us to meet together in community, whether that is through affinity groups like game night or yoga or circle suppers, or even talking together in a casual encounter in the parking lot. I've missed the wandering eye beams that Emerson names the affection of friendship. You've been keeping faith through this pandemic, finding ways to stay connected to each other, to engage in your covenant group, make justice happen through serving on a ministry team, a committee, looking out for our members and friends through caring, or stepping up to the new creative teamwork that has become our worship. We have held numerous classes for adults, like Hindsight, Humor, and Hope, which culminated in worship just this last weekend, with participants of the class bringing you all the joy that they have gleaned. And I'm seeing that it's created even more interest for a repeat of that class. Let's do it. We'll keep you posted when we are able to offer it once again. Our children, as you heard Sarah say, have been engaged with creative input and rapt attention, making a play called Black Lives Matter, a talk show by kids. And it's going to be held on March 27th at a time specifically chosen to be agreeable to most. It'll be 6:30 p.m. on a Saturday evening, Saturday before the Sunday worship. So it can be dinner theater if you so choose. And even those of our young ones who were initially hesitant for a speaking part have now overcome their unease and are excited to bring to you what they've learned about anti-racism and community building. So mark your calendar, March 27th, because we're hoping for a big turnout. Our UUFD children want to connect with you, and they would be honored to see you there. And I'm noticing right now that if you hear noise coming out of my microphone that is besides me talking today, that we did this experiment so that Ron could be right here in worship. But the problem's not Ron, it's the dog, Dolly. And she is snoring. So this won't ever happen again. Dolly, oh, there she goes. Okay. The example of our children, what you aren't able to see is many of them are immersed at an even deeper level with their Unitarian Universalist faith because they've taken it home and it's become a full week faith. The youngest children receiving traveling stuffies, little what I used to call stuffed animals, and books, making the connection with their parents as primary faith educators, or parents as resident theologians, as I like to call it. Our budding UUs are receiving support from other UUFD children who are learning the same ethical values. So whether young or older, we're realizing the importance of connection and the commitment even with those we may not always see here in the screen on Sundays. Covenants we make with one another, the ones we say aloud, like our affirmation, to dwell, to seek, to serve, and the overarching implicit one that we are not our own, earth forms us. Those covenants that we express to one another, I agree to journey with you in times when we do agree and even times of disagreement, when we still need to work it all out. What do we mean when we say we're keeping faith? Would you write in the chat what you think we mean when we say we're keeping faith? Loyalty, trust in what is yet to unfold. I believe that together we can make a difference. What else? Hope. And you'll see more. Friday's New York Times op-ed pointed to the online influencers who now serve as our moral authorities. Lee Stein, age 37, the writer of that opinion piece, names celebrity influencers like Glennon Doyle, who not only has written a number of uber popular memoirs, but has an online following of 1.5 million. Much bigger numbers than those that even call themselves Unitarian Universalist. The article writer, Lee Stein, calls Glennon Doyle, quote, a charismatic preacher for women like me, she says, who aren't even religious. The writer goes on to describe this theology. Our new belief system is a blend of left-wing political orthodoxy, intersectional feminism, self-optimization, therapy, wellness, astrology, and Dolly Parton. She continues, and we've found a different kind of clergy, personal growth influencers, women like Ms. Doyle, who offer nuns like us permission, validation, and community on demand at a time when it is nearly impossible to share community in person. We don't even have to put down our phones. End of quote. Okay, I'm going to just chill and take a breath here and try not to take this personally. I'm a generation older, so maybe I don't get it. But my clergy colleague friends of that same millennial generation agree with me that what is offered by scrolling through our phones for meaning and connection is missing something. How can we make our faith more relevant than a faith of celebrity influencers? Maybe it already is. Peter Marty, who is the editor of the Christian Century, makes the point for me. He says, I have decided that making Sabbath worship an integral part of one's life is highly inconvenient. For those who stay away from communal worship because Sunday is the day to arrange personal leisure, take special care of oneself, or get the kids off to soccer, making time for worship is just plain inconvenient. For those of us who make this a priority, Sabbath worship is equally inconvenient, although in a different way. We sing songs we didn't pick, we hear words we didn't choose, commit to endeavors for which we must sacrifice, and I'm still quoting Peter Marty, and because he wrote this before the pandemic, he added, and here's the worst, he says, sit next to people who aren't even our closest friends. I'm really longing for that, right? To sit next to anyone who is part of my community. Today, we have the convenience to simply roll out of bed, change out of our bedclothes only if we want, and eat our fresh omelet while worshiping. But what we're offering people who make the effort to commit is the chance for real connection and challenge and accountability. By making agreements, what we call covenants, out of our historic tradition, where our accords, rather than to bind us to something we don't fully agree with, actually challenge us to stay connected even when we disagree or when it's inconvenient, even when it requires something more of us. At the end of that New York Times editorial about our new moral authorities, the writer concludes, Left-wing secular millennials may follow politics devoutly, but the women we've chosen, she says, as our moral leaders, aren't challenging us to ask the fundamental questions that leaders of faith have been wrestling with for thousands of years. Why are we here? Why do we suffer? What should we believe in beyond the limits of our puny selfhood? End quote. Well, I clicked on the comments off to the side of the article on the New York Times website, thinking that you would advise me to do so. The first comment began, "I am a Unitarian Universalist minister." I went on to read the rest. My colleague, Christina Church, serving in Buffalo, reminded the writer and the readers that the origins of one of Glennon Doyle's quotes actually echoed Unitarian minister Edward Everett Hale, who said, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." Reverend Church finished her comment, "Finding the sacred in the everyday, committing to making change in the world, and learning to care for our physical, mental, and emotional health are all worthy intentions. But religion offers something more, a path to greater meaning and connection, and others to journey with us on that path, a community to remind us of our deepest values, to call us in when we stray from our best selves, to care for us when we are vulnerable, to share our triumphs when we achieve a goal. Above all, to remind us that we are connected to one another and to all human beings." So Lee Stein, writer of the piece, replied to my colleague, the Reverend Christina Church, sharing that she grew up in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. "Well, maybe it's time to keep faith, Lee. Like Glennon Doyle says, you can do hard things. Keep faith, dear ones. Your faith will keep you. And so, until we are together again, know that I love you. Amen. Amin. Ashe. Blessed be."
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change, alive from deep within the earth. It is time. Shall be known by the ones who alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love.
Beautiful. Thank you, choir. This religious community exists by our covenants and mission, as a fire exists by burning. But a fire cannot burn without fuel. And it is through our fire of our commitment that we fuel all that we do. It is by devoting our time, energy, vision, creativity, by sharing our compassion and love, and by supporting with our financial contributions, that we fuel the efforts to nurture and sustain this inclusive, liberal religious community that transforms lives and serves the world that we live in. Please join me in giving so that we may continue the flame of justice, community, and love, so that it may burn brightly, to warm ourselves and be a beacon of hope in a world often threatened by division and fear. As a reminder, this is Share the Plate Sunday in support of FLC Grubhub, MANA, and Durango Food Bank. Unless specified as a pledge payment, 100% of our contributions will be donated to our Share the Plate recipients. And we might need another reminder too that, you know, when we were back together in person, we used to see the basket, the actual basket, as the ushers would walk nearby. And right now we just have a virtual basket. So imagine seeing that basket in front of you. There are three ways to make contributions to UUFD, and you'll find these posted in the chat. You can click on, send a check to our address on 419 San Juan Drive in Durango. You can also go to our website at durangouu.org and click on the word donate. There you can make a one-time donation, or you can also set it up for a recurring donation. And the simplest way that I like to add to the basket is you can just text the amount to the number given in the chat there with the amount that you want to donate in the message line. Your support and your free generous donations of each and every member of this fellowship and friend of this fellowship is what fuels this worship community and the work that we do in the community and beyond. Your gifts are gratefully received.
This year's stewardship theme, Keep Our Chalice Burning Brightly, reminds us that our chalice endures as a symbol of unity and hope, guiding us through these days of physical separation and uncertainty. The choir is going to lead us in singing the round, Rise Up, O Flame. We will all sing it one time through in unison, and then three more times as a two-part round. When the round starts, you can sing with the first group, or come in with the second group after the first one sings, Rise Up, O Flame. It might be a challenge to sing around virtually, but sing your hearts out anyway and stay muted so that no one will hear you if you mess up.
Rise up, O flame.
So now let us welcome Bob back into our picture. Bob as our chalice lighter this week. Let's see if we can get him on the spotlight too. There he is. Look, he's been monitoring this flaming chalice all worship long. Thanks, Bob. And we're going to extinguish the chalice. Oh, and I have something else to tell you as we do that, before I offer the benediction. As we prepare to hire a permanent director of faith formation, we would like the congregation's input. We have a brief survey. Seriously, it's less than 5 minutes. You could probably complete it in three. And as we complete our interim time, the link to the survey will be put into the chat, and you can go ahead if you'd like and click on that link right now, even while you're here. If you go in the chat, click on the link, it'll open up a new browser. So after your small group concludes, you can come back and complete it. We'll remind you about that later. We'll also have some other opportunities. We just thought now might be a good time to remind you. And remember, as you go, whatever you can do or dream we can do, begin it. Boldness has genius and power and magic in it. May we ever be bold in our living and loving. Go. Keeping faith with this community that holds you. May it be so. Amen.